At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The Texas House passed its version of a new two-year state budget earlier this morning after more than 15 hours of debate. The $218 billion spending plan increased funding for foster care and child protective services. The budget also taps into the state's rainy day fund and shifts $10 million from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to anti-abortion programs. However, some top priorities among state leaders didn't get funded, like the Texas Enterprise Fund the governor uses as an incentive to lure companies to the state. Representatives also voted against private school vouchers, which Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick favored. And Attorney General Ken Paxton lost $20 million in his budget for lawsuits. The House and Senate now have until the end of May to work out a compromise budget. Now to our Friday conversation and a major figure in the North Texas Islamic community. For the last few years, Alia Salem's been executive director of the local council on American Islamic relations. She stepped down from the job this week, but she told Rick Holter she's still an advocate for her community.
You've been in the job for, what, about 3.5 years?
Correct.
During that time, there's been this cascade, the shootings in Garland, the clock kid, the immigration ban. As executive director of CARE, you must feel like you're getting hit by wave after wave after wave.
Yeah, I'll never forget. In 2015, literally every single month, there was some huge issue that happened to either the Texas, North Texas community or the American Muslim community. And it was just this constant barrage. And I was never so overwhelmed, you know, in my life.
What kind of personal toll does that take?
I remember when in North Carolina, when the young people, the three young people were murdered in their home, Chapel Hill. And I remember standing in front of a group of people. It was just this huge vigil gathering at UTD. And I remember saying, my job is to deal with hate. And I had never uttered it before. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of this moment, this realization where this all-encompassing thing, like your job is literally to confront hate on a daily basis. And you can't underestimate the mental, you know, toll that takes. While I felt like I was completely equipped, you know, to do the job, you still have to be conscious about it and have to worry about self-care for yourself, but also your family.
Now, there are people who see you respond to an incident and accuse you of being an apologist for terrorism.
Yeah.
What do you say to people like that?
Well, I would say the same thing that I would say to anybody. You wouldn't accuse, you know, a white Christian person of being an apologist for the KKK if they denounce the KKK, right? Mm-hmm. Or if they denounce and say that terrorism is not part and parcel of the Christian belief, right? So it's just something that people have, you know, heaped onto the Muslim community as this forced position of defending, right? We're not going to say this anymore because we shouldn't have to. It's completely ludicrous, you know, to tell people or to force people into this position of defending your community. We don't espouse that. Our scripture doesn't teach that. And people who sit there and think that they can open a passage and just read it cold turkey without any kind of context are ignorant, frankly speaking. And we need to elevate our level of discourse on this kind of stuff where we start talking about it with some kind of logic and pragmatism instead of this knee-jerk, fear-based response.
So how do you turn defense into offense?
You just stop and you need to say, I'm going to tell my story. I learned this with the Garland shooting.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, the week before, the mosques in North Texas collectively had open mosque day. And one newspaper outlet showed up to one of the mosques. And they didn't end up doing a story on it. The very next week was the Garland shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know? I had 50 or 60, you know, news outlets crammed into one of the Islamic centers listening to us, you know, talk about this. And after the fact, I was talking to a group of reporters and I was like, shame on you guys. And I don't want to, I am definitely not painting all of the media with a broad brush, but there is some ownership and responsibility.
So after 3.5 years in charge, are you still an optimist?
I'm absolutely an optimist. And I think that has a lot to do with how the community responded, the broader American community responded after Trump took office, because that was a pinnacle moment. ACLU raised more than $24 million. People were just pouring money after the ban happened, and our own organization was raising a lot of funding. And I mention the funding because people are saying, oh, I'm going to do something about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm not just going to sing kumbaya with my Muslim neighbor. You know, mm-hmm. they're going to actually take some sort of action. I've never seen this kind of consistent, sustained response. As I'm departing CARE, I'm not departing the movement. I'm just departing a position within the movement to go and do another position within the movement.
Alia Salem, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
The Dallas Art Fair opens today at the Dallas Museum of Art. More than 90 galleries from around the world will gather to sell works from legendary artists and from up-and-comers. Brandon Kennedy's director of development for the Dallas Art Fair. He says it's worth visiting, even if you're not in the market for art.
It's a great chance for the visitors who are coming to the fair to see artworks that are of a museum caliber that will actually be staying here in Dallas at the museum. So it's really the best of all possible worlds.
DMA curators acquired works from six of the artists. They'll remain on display until the fair ends Sunday. You can see images of those works and learn about the artists at artandseek.org. Coming up on the BBC NewsHour, reaction from Damascus, Moscow, and Tehran on the U.S. missile strike against a Syrian airbase. Also, what's next for U.S. policy? NewsHour begins at 9 o'clock. As for the forecast, mostly sunny today. Expect a high around 76. Temperatures will drop to around 58 overnight. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and a high near 81. It's 58 degrees now in Dallas, 56 in Fort Worth, 48 in Wichita Falls, and 51 in Tyler.